Blog Talk Radio.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews killing other Hebrews, it's becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
The clock is counting down, please tell me what you're gonna do. Just being a witness, giving attention to the truth. They conspire to hide the identity from you. Many are offended, we exposing how they do you.
They don't love us as a whole, they don't love us. It's a small remnant of them that got some love for us. Love not an emotion, it's defined by the word. Read 1 Corinthians 13, then observe. Love always rejoice when justice is won. Cops killing Hebrews, there been no justice from one. If your soul don't ache, then you're faking the fun. All that love is undone. See, they thought that we was done.
They never seen me coming, young Israelite soldier. Knew that I would do something big when I got older. Turning up the heat, I feel this world has got colder. Every single burden, I just let it off my shoulder.
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews killing other Hebrews, it's becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
Tell me where your conscience go when you came to this land. Shit look like a bunch of sardines sitting in the can. Some say that they African, others say American, or they slap them both together. Look at how we join the hands. This one for my ancestors under the attack, picking cotton in the sun, long hours breaking sweats. Fly to me with Section 8, dump me in them projects. Imagine that, they just trying to keep the yoke up on our neck. But you found out you a brute, not another project. Why we curse? Cause our fathers tweaked and broke the contract. Let's reverse all these curses and continue being blessed. Kumbaya, hear ya, how will come by ya? I'm no longer distressed.
They never seen me coming, young Israelite soldier. Knew that I would do something big when I got older. Turning up the heat, I feel this world has got colder. Every single burden, I just let it off my shoulder.
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews killing other Hebrews, it's becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
I got that brew on Haka Dash, making Satan getting mad. Cause I'm barely doing my dad, and the most I got my bag. Hey, happy, don't be sad. When we finna get a bag, been about to put a mask. Cause you know it's just a bag.
I got that brew on. 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 We got that brew on. They got that brew on. She got that brew on. They got that brew on. I got the brew on Haka Dash. Send the dog on flash. Bottles in my hand. Think you love my plan? Wow.
the first of them to deal with the curse. You can follow me to the book of Dan. Chapter 1 and verse 8, David stood up like a man. Prophecies on philosophies, you can copy mission chaos. Gotta have faith, but I must see. Blessing for your brother me. People, you should too, if you knew what this world would do to you. Because it's the 82, but we got the Ruach.
I got the Ruach, I could dance, making Satan getting mad. Cause I'm barely doing my dance, and the most I got my bag. Hey, happy, don't be sad, when we been to get a bag. Been about to put a mask, cause you know it's the Shabbat.
I got that Ruach,
I got that Ruach.
I got that Ruach.
I got that Ruach.
He got that Ruach.
They got that Ruach.
He got that Ruach.
They got that Ruach.
I know y'all tired of the dealing and killing from all your children. Regardless, you believer, receiver, we got the spirit.
Turn back the statutes, the laws, and the commandments. And if we do so, we do damage all on this planet.
Cause we chosen, we go in like oil sheen on a pro team. That Ruach, I could dance.
You're the reason for my flowing. We posting, no roaches, we so lit, we go get the most out behind us, so nothing we can't win.
I got that Ruach, I could dance, making Satan getting mad, cause I'm barely doing my dance, and the most I got my bag.
Hey, happy, don't be sad,
when we finna get a bag, been about to put a mask, cause you know it's just a bag.
I got that Ruach,
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 we got that Ruach,
they got that Ruach.
Shalom, shalom, Israel again. Welcome to Israel Now Radio. This is your host, Yahshua. Hopefully everybody having a good day and a good week so far. Just want to say first and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Most High Yahweh. So today, just kind of want to talk to everybody for a minute. And actually, I was going to talk about, titled this, Yahawashah, A Covenant to the People. So we're going to deal with a few scriptures concerning that topic, and if anybody want to call in, you know, just push number one. If anybody want to get online, make a comment, ask a question, whether it's dealing with the topic or not, you know, go ahead and push one, and I'll get you on. But that's what we'll deal with today, is bring a little bit of understanding concerning this topic. Again, it's Yahawashah, which is the true name of the Messiah, a covenant to the people. Because as hopefully most of y'all know, we have different covenants throughout the scripture. We have covenants such as the covenant made with Noah, which that's what the rainbow represents. So the rainbow is in no way a symbol for homosexuality. We don't allow them people to steal what the Almighty gave us. Just like a lot of our other things, you know, the menorah, that's our symbol. It's not the symbol of the Khazars. So all these different things, we have allowed other groups, other people to usurp what is ours. So we take a right stand and we stand up and take back what's ours and take back what the Almighty Yahweh has given to us, the children of Israel. So again, the covenant with Noah, the Almighty made a covenant with Abraham, a covenant with King David, a covenant with Moses, just different covenants throughout the scripture. There's also a covenant that was prophesied to come, dealing with the new covenant, which is a covenant that has not taken place yet, but it will happen in the future. There's also a covenant that the Messiah brought. The misconception is that the Messiah brought the new covenant that we read about in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. The Messiah did not. While the Messiah did bring a covenant, he did not bring the covenant of Jeremiah chapter 31, starting at verse 31. That new covenant states clearly that when that new covenant is in effect, all of Israel will know the Most High from the least to the greatest, and the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. And we will not have to teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother to know Yahweh, because we shall all know him from the least to the greatest. Obviously, that covenant is not in effect right now. Even though many people are saying it, many people are teaching it, all of Christianity is saying it, and many, many Israelites are saying it as well. But according to the terms of that covenant, it's obvious that it's not in effect yet. In fact, the total opposite is in effect right now when we look over the earth. The whole earth is full of the knowledge of Satan right now. That's what the earth is full of. They all know about Halloween, which just passed. They all know about Christmas, which is coming up. And all of these are days dedicated to worshiping false deities or dealing with divination, witchcraft, and things like that. Dealing with speaking to the dead, as my Akh Aharon did a great lesson on our last scripture study. And he went through the history of Halloween and why they chose that date, because it is the date that the living and the dead are most close, you know. Basically the gulf between the living and the dead are more closer during that time. You know, that's the time that they like to conjure up and talk to the dead and different things like that. And we know the Almighty forbid his holy people from even attempting to do these type of things. All right. So with that being said, I want to start in the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter. I think that's where I'll start this out at. Daniel chapter 9. Yeah, we'll start there. Now I'll read verses 24 down to 27. This is a very deep prophecy. Not going to really break it down all the way in depth so we can move on. You can do a whole lesson on these three chapters, which we have done in the past. But Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 says, actually, I'll just start at 25 through 27. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Not as deep in and of itself, the way that is written. You know, you have to ask yourself, why did the Most High just say 69 weeks? Because that's literally what it is. Why did the scripture say 7 weeks and 62 weeks? That's a whole other thing that I'm not going to get into right now. But there is a reason why it's written that way. 7 weeks and 62 weeks. When we deal with the scriptures, we have to be very keen on everything that is said, everything that is stated, because the Almighty's word let us know that his word does not come back void. The Almighty let us know that every word of Yahweh is pure. It is a shield unto them, right? So when we pick up at the next verse, look what it says. Well, actually, let me go back to verse 25. When it says, know therefore and understand, this is something that we are supposed to know and understand. That from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. This is Daniel prophesying right here, letting us know when the Messiah is going to come. He said, from the time that the commandment comes to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah comes, it's going to be 69 weeks later. And these weeks is the Hebrew word Shabur, which is a week of years. Again, the commandment came in 458 BC to restore and build Jerusalem, because at that time, Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was, at that time, Jerusalem was destroyed because of the Babylonians that already came and destroyed the city and different things like that. So our ancestors at that time was returning back to Jerusalem, and they were trying to rebuild Jerusalem. And that's when the commandment came to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That's the context. So from 458 BC, 69 weeks of years later, the Messiah was prophesied to come. 69 weeks of years, 1 week is 7 years, all right, according to the scripture, according to the Hebrew word Shabuah. So a week is 7 years, okay? And that can be proven, you know, by using other verses as well. When we go to our ancestor Jacob, and he worked, the scripture says 1 week for the wife that he wanted, because he was tricked into getting her sister. And then the scripture says that he's going to fulfill her week for the wife that he really wanted. And then it said, and he worked for her yet 7 other years. Same Hebrew word, Shabur, which again shows that a week, according to these verses, is 7 years. Now, with that understanding, if it's a week of years and we're doing 69 of them, then 69 times 7 is 483. So So if you're at 458 BC and you add 483 years, it brings you to 26 AD. 26 AD is when the Messiah came, and he was the Messiah walking in the office of the Messiah. All right, we understand that he was born in 4 BC. He started to walk in that office of being a Messiah at the age of 30. 4 BC plus the age of 30 brings you to 26 AD when he was baptized and started to do all the wonderful works that we read about throughout the scriptures. All right, so with that being said, let's go to the very next verse, verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So after this time period that he comes, this 7 weeks, 62 weeks, right, he shall be cut off. Cut off meaning he's going to die. It says after 62 weeks, he shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. He's not being cut off for himself. He's going to be cut off for the sins of the world. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So roughly 30-some years later, the people of the prince was the Romans, the Roman armies, Titus, Vespasian. They came and destroyed again the city and the sanctuary, the same city and the sanctuary that was rebuilt shortly before 458 BC when our people returned back home. They shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. What does that mean? In 70 AD, they came and destroyed the city and the sanctuary. The end thereof shall be with a flood, and desolations are determined. What does that mean? The Almighty's land will be left desolate of its people. All right. And like a flood, we were ran out of there and rushed out of there, all right, and killed off like a flood, and desolations are determined. The desolation is the land is desolate of the true Israelites at this point at 70 AD. All right, verse 27. Going back to the Messiah, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That's what he did. For 1 week, he confirmed a covenant with many, the same covenant that we read about that the great prophet Moses confirmed with the people. The Messiah confirmed that same covenant with many for 1 week. That 1 week meaning 1 7-year period. All right. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So that 7-year period was cut short while the Messiah was confirming a covenant with many for 1 week. And because as we know, he only ministered for 3.5 years once he turned 30 till he was 33.5. So that is literally the middle of the week or the midst of the week. Shall he cause what? The sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He caused those sacrifices to cease in the midst of the week. Why? Because he died and his body was that sacrifice, that sacrifice that the Almighty had gave. All right. So I'm going to leave it right there. And not even finish the last verse and get to the point. So in the midst of the week, after those 3.5 years, he calls the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. All right. With that being said, let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Because we know from here, this same Messiah that was prophesied to come 69 weeks later, he is going to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease in the midst of a 7-year period. And how did he do that? Because in the midst of that 7-year period, he died for the sins of the world, and his blood was shed for our atonement, for our sins. All right, so let's see. Where did I say to go? Isaiah 53. Let's start at verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom if the arm of Yahweh revealed? So I want to say, who hath believed our report? This report was always laid down from the foundation of the earth. That's why when John seen Yahweh Shah, he said, behold, the Lamb of Elohim that taketh away the sins of the world. That report was always there. And if people understood what Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14 was really talking about when the Almighty said, let us use the lights in the sky, meaning the sun, the moon, and the stars, and use these things for signs. If they understood what it meant when it said use them for signs, they would understand that all the way from the days of Adam, that report was given that the Messiah is going to come and die for the sins of the world. He's going to be the son of Elohim. He's going to heal people and do great miracles and all these different things that he did.
That's how we know he was the Messiah. All right. Among many other things. Okay, so here we go. Verse 2. For he shall grow up as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. That's how, just exactly how they treated Yahawashah when he walked the earth. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Elohim, and afflicted. All these things happened that we read about throughout the scriptures. All right, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All right, so with his stripes, we are healed. All we, like sheep, has gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So during that whole crucifixion time, you know, he hardly ever even said anything. He didn't complain. He didn't do anything. He knew that it was his time to lay down his life for those who he loved. All right, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? Who shall declare his generation? We see that the prophet Daniel declared his generation. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. So this is very, very clear. For he was what? Cut off out of the land of the living. Meaning he died. Then it goes on to tell you why he died. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He took all those stripes for us. He was cut off out of the land of the living for us. Now those that are that don't want to accept the sacrifice offered to them by the Almighty Yahweh would like to tell us and make us believe that this chapter is talking about all of us, the whole nation of Israel. This didn't happen to all of us. How were we cut off out of the land of the living for our own sins, for all of us? That doesn't make any sense, all right? So again, it says, verse 9, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. The children of Israel do violence every day on the streets of every major city in this country. We're killing each other. But this is talking about one righteous standing in the gap for everybody else, and he has done no violence. Verse 10, yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. They would like you to believe that can't happen. All right, but we know what the Almighty did. He made his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. So the Almighty will see his seed, prolong his days. All right. So, I'll stop at verse 10. I think that's good enough to show and prove that everything that we read about in Matthew and Mark, Luke and John, it goes right along with what we just read in Isaiah chapter 53. The exact same thing, how the Messiah came and he had, you know, those stripes. With those stripes, we were healed. Remember in the scriptures and the law, it talk about getting 40 stripes. All right, he got those hits. He got those stripes for us. All right, he took that death for us. He did all these things for us, and we have to be grateful. We have to be very grateful in that. All right, so with that being said, I want to go to I'm going to go to Isaiah, the 49th chapter now. All right, Isaiah 49, and again, anybody online, if y'all want to chat with me, you know, definitely can. Just push 1, and I will get you online a little bit later in the show. All right, so give me a second. I'm looking for something. I know I'm going to go to Isaiah 49.
And I believe I'm going to start at about the 7th verse, but give me a second. All right, yep. I'm going to start at verse number 7 through 16, Isaiah 49, starting at verse 7. So what we're going to see here is another covenant, all right? Probably not one of the covenants that most people are used to and used to reading and used to hearing about. You hear about the covenant made with Noah, you know, which the Almighty promised to never destroy the earth through water anymore, you know, and then he gave the rainbow as a token of that covenant. We hear about the covenant with Moses and the covenant with Abraham and the covenant with David and the covenant with Adam, you know, so all these different things. But check this out, Isaiah 49, verse number 7. Thus saith Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because Yahweh that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. So we see that right there, his Holy One, all right, talking about how people are going to come to the Holy One and serve this Holy One. That Holy One is, of course, the Messiah. Verse number 8, thus saith Yahweh, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. In a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, cause to inherit the desolate heritages. All right, so we see that right there. What we just read so far, if I go back to verse 7, it says, thus saith Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One. All right, then it goes on to talk about the Holy One, to whom man despises. We just read in Isaiah 53 who they despise. They despise the Messiah at that time. All right, who man despises, to whom the nation abhors, which means hated, to a servant of rulers, says kings shall see and arise, princes shall worship, because Yahweh that is faithful. So all these people are going to come and rise and worship. So who is the Almighty telling to worship? His Holy One. So his Holy One would have to be a divine being if he's being worshipped. All right, so let's go to verse 8. It says, thus saith Yahweh, in an acceptable time. It has to come in the Almighty's time. All these things must happen in the Almighty's time. In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. So now the Almighty is talking about salvation. And what did he say about salvation? And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. So now, not only do we have those other covenants that I mentioned, now the Almighty is saying, I'm going to give thee as a covenant to the people. Who is the thee? His Holy One. The same Holy One in verse 7 that was despised. That's who's coming to be a covenant to the people. The same Holy One in verse 7 that was worshipped by kings and princesses, all right? That's who's coming to be a covenant to the people. All right, verse 9, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastors shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of the water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Then it says, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For Yahweh hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon the afflicted. But Zion said,
Yahweh hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. All right, verse 15. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Verse 16, the last verse. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So the Almighty said he wrote us on the palms of his hands. He will not forget about us. And he sent his only begotten son to come and save us, to be that sacrifice for us. All right. So we see that there, according to verse 8, that the Almighty gave Yahawashah for a covenant to the people. He made him a covenant to the people. All right. So that's very important. So now we're going to have to know what that means for Yahawashah to be a covenant to the people, right? Because we know that the word covenant literally means an agreement. That's what covenant means, an agreement. So, actually, I want to go back to one verse real quick because I want to, when we read in the, I just want to, throw a precept real quick for this verse. When we read in the 10th verse, it says, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. All right. So let's look at John chapter 4 and verse 10. Because this one, it's going to be a covenant to the people. And I'm going to just look at one verse, but we can definitely precept this thing out. So I said, John 4 and 10. It says in John 4 and 10, Yahawashah answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of Elohim, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. All right, that's the precept for what we just read here in Isaiah 49 and verse 10. So he said to the lady at the well, if you knew who this was speaking to you, right, he is the Most High's Holy One. He said she would have asked to give him living water. What living water? That same living water that he's talking about in Isaiah 49 and 10. If I go back there, it says, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat of the sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of the water shall he guide them. All right, just symbolic, all symbolic language talking about that living water, right? That real living water that only the Messiah can give you. All right, and what is also referencing to in the book of Revelation, just talking about that water that's going to flow from the stream, and that water is the eternal life. It's symbolic of eternal life, just like the tree of life. All right, when you get to drink from that water freely, as it's talking about. All right. So with that being said, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 and 2. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Hopefully I'll be maybe about 10 more minutes. I'll go to the call lines, see if anybody have anything to say, want to talk, chat a little bit. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let's hit this verse. Verse 1 and 2. It reads, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of Elohim in vain. Verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So why did I read that? That's the precept, what we just read in Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49 was just talking about, in an acceptable time, is this Holy One of Israel going to come? Is this Messiah going to come? All right, in an acceptable time. And he's going to have with him that living water. All right, that living water in an acceptable time. So look at verse 2 again. It says, for he saith, I have heard thee and then accepted, in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. All right, that's the day of salvation when the Messiah comes, because you have to accept him. All right, we're in the day of salvation. The Messiah came. We have to accept him. He's a part of salvation. You need an atonement. All right, no, nobody, I don't see the brother slaughtering bulls and goats and lambs anymore. They have 1,000 excuses. We don't have a temple. We're not in the land. We don't do that no more. Well, we just keep the commandments. Keeping the commandments is not an atonement. Keeping the commandments is repentance. That means I used to be a liar. I stopped being a liar. I repented. That's good. That's part of what the Almighty requires you to do. But all those lies you said in the past need an atonement for. And if you're not sacrificing anything, you didn't even attempt an atonement. And the Almighty is not accepting those sacrifices of bulls and goats in this day and time anyway. That's why it's saying here, for he saith, I have heard thee and then accepted, in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's what it's talking about. Taking that right from Isaiah 49, relating that, then we know exactly what it's talking about, the time that the Messiah is going to come. Now let's look at this covenant that the Messiah came and brought. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26, because he was that prophet likened unto Moses. So just as Moses brought a covenant, a blood covenant, Yahushua brought a covenant that had something to do with blood. So Matthew 26, let's read verse 26 through 28. And as they were eating, Yahushua took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and drank, saying, drink ye all of it. Now watch verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament. The word testament means covenant, of the New Testament or covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The same thing we were reading in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 through 27, how it talked about he's going to cause the sacrifice to cease. It says when he's cut off in the midst of the week, he's going to cause the sacrifice to cease. Isaiah 53 let us know that the Almighty offered his soul. He gave his soul as an offering for sin. And now the Messiah is saying, here, look, you in verse 28, for this is my blood. As they're drinking that cup, it's symbolic of his blood that's about to be shed for the what? For the New Testament, or for the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So now we know at that point, once he died and his blood is shed, and you make a wrong, don't go get no goat and slaughter that. Don't go get no bull, no bullock, no lamb, no sheep, no none of that. You ask for forgiveness in the name of Yahusha, the powerful, mighty name of Yahusha. Don't change his name to anything else. Don't change his name to a Latin name. Don't change it to an English name. Don't change it to a Greek name. The angel came from heaven specifically to tell his mother to name him this. And she said, and he said, Yahusha, according to the ancient Hebrew, and that's what we call him. It's not Yahshua. It's not Yahoshua. It's not Yahusha. It's Yahusha. All right? That's the name, according to ancient Hebrew, that was given to his mother to name him. Not English, not Latin, not Greek, not modern Hebrew. Ancient Hebrew, Yahusha. That's the powerful name that was given, and that's the name we need to use. You know, we got some brothers, they have Hebrew names. Their wives have Hebrew names. Their children have Hebrew names. Their whole congregation have Hebrew names. And then they call the Messiah the greatest among us by a Latin name. Because truly, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, is a Latin name. And truly, J-E-S-U-S, it's pronounced Jesus, and it's a Latin name. It don't carry the weight that Yahusha, the Hebrew name, carries. So we have the greatest among us, and we want to call him by a Latin name. But we all got Hebrew names. That makes no sense to me. All right? No sense at all. So, let me wrap up a little bit. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 17. Let's go here. So, Yahusha brought a covenant. He was prophesied to bring a covenant in Isaiah chapter 49.
And we see that covenant being established in Matthew chapter 26 when he said, this blood, this drink, you know, represents my blood. So once he died and his blood was shed, that's when that covenant took effect. So let's read that. Hebrews 9, starting at verse 11 down through 17. It reads, but Christ being come, a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. The New Testament is very spiritual. It's a spiritual book. That's why some people don't understand it. They're only looking to the physical, but it's a spiritual book. Verse 12, neither by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. This is saying no different than we read in Isaiah 53. This is saying no different than we read in Daniel 9. This is saying no different than we read in other places. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to Elohim, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim. Verse 15, and for this cause he came, or for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. All right, just like we read, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that which are called, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator or testator. Verse 17, last verse. For the testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the tester liveth. All right, so once he died is when that took into place. Once his blood was shed, he said, that is it. It is finished. He gave up the spirit. That was it. The new covenant that he brought was in effect at that time, which means don't worry about sacrificing anything. He is your sacrifice. He is your atonement. You go through his bloodshed. All right. Second address, chapter 7, verse 28. For those that don't know, second address is in the Apocrypha. Chapter 7 and verse 28 is going to be the last verse. After this, I'll go to the phone lines. Is there anybody on the phone lines that want to speak? All right, second address, chapter 7 and verse 28. For my son, Yahawashah, shall be revealed with those that be with him, and they that remain shall rejoice within 400 years. So, again, this is written by Ezra. Ezra was coming back from the Babylonian and the Medo-Persian captivity, roughly 400 so years before the Messiah came on the scene, before the Messiah was born, and he clearly prophesied the name and he prophesied the time period, just as Daniel did. For my son Yahawashah shall be revealed with those that be with him within 400 years. It all adds up beautifully. It all adds up perfectly. And so we know what we have to do. We have to be a light unto the world. We have to be a light unto our own people, our own family, our own nation. We have to be a light to all the nations of the earth to show the way. We have to keep the Almighty's commandments, all right? And we have to believe in Yahawashah, the true Messiah, all right? We have to keep these commandments. We have to keep the Sabbath day, keep the dietary law. We got to be strong. And we have to not let anything waver us. Don't go toss to and fro with every wind of doctrine, because I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen with people in the past. One Sabbath I'll see them, they'll be like, yeah, I believe this. The next Sabbath, I believe something else. The Sabbath after that, I believe something else on the same topic, on the same subject. The Sabbath after that, they back to believing what they believed the first time. They toss to and fro with every wind of doctrine, you know, because they're not stable. You got to get stable, got to get grounded, because this whole thing is a fight. So I see people that backslide, go to and fro, so we got to be able to lift each other up, lift our brothers up, and this whole thing is very, very important, and it is a time of great spiritual warfare right now, so we cannot afford to be disconnected. We cannot afford to be arguing, fighting and among each other, or backbiting or talking about each other, or prideful among each other, or any of this type of stuff. Everybody has a gift that the Almighty has given them, and we just play our part, and we do what the Almighty has given us, because it's truly the Almighty who has given the gifts, you know. And so, as the scripture talk about, don't covet another person's gift. We just have to stay strong, stay together, be righteous, and be focused on happiness, truth, and eternal life, and be focused on the Almighty in every decision you make. Think about, what would Yah want me to do in this situation? What would Yahweh want me to do in this situation? All right, how do I treat my brother? How do I treat my sister? What would Yahweh want me to do about this situation? How do I treat my wife? How would Yahweh want me to do it? How to treat my children? How would Yahweh want me to do it? Wives, respect your husbands. Listen to your husband. You know, the whole nine yards. It's time to be perfected and come to a higher level, so we can truly be perfected as the body of Messiah. But let me see if I have any callers, anybody online. Push number one if you want to chat. If not, you don't have to. I will just keep rolling with some scripts. So I'm going to give it a second, see if anybody have anything to say. Just push number one or so. I'll get you online. All right, so what we've been talking about, you know, just Yahweh Shah being a covenant or agreement to the people. All right, so I'm going to kind of switch gears on that topic. I think that is, to me, just short, to the point, but something they need to be focused on a little more, because the covenant that Yahweh Shah brought, I believe, is very much misunderstood, very much misquoted, very much just misunderstood, all in all. Most people read that and believe that's the covenant of Jeremiah 31. But no, it's not the same thing. All right. New just means it was new. It wasn't in effect before. All right. That's all that means. It doesn't mean it's talking about that same covenant. You have to learn how to precept in context. That's what it is. Precept in the scripture in context. But, all right. So let's just kind of, switch gears a little bit, and I know that, you know, a lot of things are out there. This is when I always urge our people to stay grounded in truth, urge our people to, as the scripture says, prove all things and hold fast to that what is true. So many people are saying, well, I get it. Sometimes I listen to social media a lot and just see what's out there, see what's going on. Probably not nothing a lot of you probably never heard before, but you know, the one of the teachings is that Christ was the Messiah was Adam. All right, so this actually came up today. You know, I wasn't in the I was just looking and listening to, you know, what was being said, but the teaching is Christ was Adam, and then he was Solomon and somebody. I don't even remember all the people. But, of course, that he was the Messiah 2,000 years ago, but he was Adam as well. But if you stop and think about that, here's the problem with that. There's many problems with that, but here's the problem with that. If he was Adam, then who created Adam? Because we know from the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. All right? Then it says, actually, let me just get it so I don't misquote it. John chapter 1. So, if the Messiah was Adam, then they have some explaining to do. All right, here we go. And the teaching is also that I've heard that the people that say that he was Adam, they say, well, Adam sinned. And then they say he was Solomon. They say Solomon sinned. So they say, well, he came 2,000 years ago. He also died for his own sins that he committed in the past, being Adam and Solomon. It don't make no sense, but that's what some are saying out there. Okay, so here we go. John chapter 1,
in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. For those that don't know or not familiar with Israel Now and our teaching, remember the word Elohim is plural. Plural meaning more than one. So as I'm reading this and I'm saying the Hebrew word Elohim, do not think that is one person here. All right, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Let me read that again. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. We know the Word is Yahweh Shaddai Messiah. We're going to back that up in a minute. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. So he was in the beginning with Elohim. Verse 3. All things were made by him. Who is the him? The Word. The one identified as the Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. So the one that was the Word made everything that was made. All right. Let's drop down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is that? That's the Son. That's Yahweh Shah. The Father never became flesh. Why? The Holy Spirit never became flesh and dwelt among us. The Son became flesh and dwelt among us. The same Son that is identified as the Word in verse 14, the same one that's identified as the Word in verse 1, 2, and 3, that created all things, right? And it says in verse 3, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Without him was not anything made that was made. Now let's see what was made. Genesis 1, verse 26. And Elohim said, the same Elohim from John 1, which is plural, let us make man in our image. Now they're making something. They're making man. Humankind, male and female, they're making man. Well, who made man according to, yeah, they were all in agreement, but who actually did the work of making man? We go back to John. It said all things were made by him. So if the Word is the one that made Adam, how can he be Adam and he made Adam? It just don't make any sense. So for those that don't know, as far as I know, I think just about every congregation that come out of One West, just about that I know of, teaches that the Messiah was Adam, except for GOCC. They actually changed that. They actually no longer believe that. But pretty much most of these other brothers, one was, they believe the Messiah was Adam. Well, that's a clear example of, obviously, he wasn't Adam. He was the one that made Adam. So I'm going to check the phone lines again. We're down to about 7 minutes. If nobody have a question or comment, that's fine as well. I will just go out and play one last song. And just want to say I'll give everybody a second, see if anybody want to go online. If not, I'm going to just say again, you know, shalom, shalom to the listening audience. Glad y'all joined us. Listen in. Israel Now Radio every Monday, 9 p.m. And, you know, keep joining us, but I'll go to my first caller, area code 513. Give me a second. Let me see if I can get you online. Oh, man, I seem to be having some technical difficulties on getting them online. Hold on, let me try this another way. I'm actually using a different device, so hopefully everything worked out okay up until this point, but I never really used this device before. I'm going to have to go back to my laptop next time. Let me see if I get you online. All right, shalom, shalom. 513, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Hey, yes, I hear you. Shalom, shalom.
Hello, shalom. I have a question.
Okay.
I don't know a lot. She tells me a lot about everything that she was saying, but what I have, what you said tonight, so you had said that the Most High, he wouldn't take no sacrifice like back in the days when it was like an animal or the blood of a lamb or anything. So today you said you would ask for forgiveness in the name of Yahweh Shai. So thing is that a sign of a sacrifice too?
Yes, because the sacrifice was already made. So the example I'll give you is this. So the Messiah, whose true name is Yahweh Shah, he is our high priest. So when we read in the Old Testament about the things that the high priest did, all he did was he took the place of what the high priest were doing. So what would happen is if you committed a sin before the Messiah came, the time we had the priest set up and all that stuff, what you would do, of course, you would repent. And repent means you ask for forgiveness from the Most High, all right, and then you would have to turn from your ways, meaning if you were used to steal stuff every day, you can't ask for forgiveness and then get up and go back and steal again. That's not true repentance, mm-hmm. right? You know you're going to steal the next day. It means to actually stop stealing and ask for forgiveness. So that's just one part of the recipe for forgiveness. The other part is your atonement. So what would happen at this point, all you would do is take your lamb that a lot of our people own farms at that time, they would grow food off the land like farmers, you would have livestock. You would take one of your lambs that was, when the scriptures say without blemish, that means you would get like one of the best lambs you have, not one with a broken leg or a messed up eye or anything, mm-hmm. and you would give it to the priest. So actually, you're actually losing money because these things were like money into us. You know, we use them for different things, for food, for eggs, for warmth and all this stuff. So you would give it to the priest, and pretty much the priest would make the sacrifice for you. He would kill that lamb for you and do everything that he had to do for you, sprinkle the blood, everything the Almighty told him to do on your behalf, right? So now at this point, you still do the same repentance. If you was to steal something, you still do the same repentance. But now by you confessing the mighty name of Yahweh Shah, he takes the place of what the priest and the lamb did. The priest would sacrifice that lamb for you. But what he did was he sacrificed his own blood, so you don't have to every day, every week, every month, you make a mistake, you going to get a lamb again. But his blood was much better than 1,000 and 10,000 and 1,000,000 bulls and goats. You know what I mean? You can't innumerable amount of bulls and goats. His blood was much better, so all we have to do now is confess his name. And that was our atonement because he already died for the sins of the world. He already died for the sins of our sins, for the sins of his people. And so, therefore, that's the connection of the atonement in his blood versus the bulls and goats.
Makes sense now.
It makes sense? Okay. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Good. You have any other questions?
No, I'm going to have to go in the house and write them down. I'm going to try to make it to scripture study on Thursday or the next Thursday.
No, we had it last Thursday, so it will be this Thursday. No, sorry, next Thursday. We have it every other Thursday. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you able to make our – we'll be there on the Sabbath day if you're able to make that as well, every Saturday. Are you able to make that this week?
Yeah, I need to do it. I just be having all my kids on the weekend.
Okay. So you know where we're at and everything?
Yes, I've been there a couple times.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know who you are now. Okay, yeah, your Aunt Kazaya. Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll definitely try to make it if you can, and yeah, that'll be great.
Okay, because it started 2 on Saturday, right?
That's right, yep, 2 on Saturday. Unless you have, like, some children that you want to come and bring to our children's class, which that starts at 1 p.m.
Okay, that'll be perfect. Okay.
Yep. Sounds good. All right, sis. Well, good speaking to you again, and hopefully I will see you this Sabbath day. It's time to get everything right.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was nice listening to you.
All right. Good. No problem, sis. Shalom, shalom.
Okay,
all right, so give me a second. I'm having technical difficulties, but I am going to, once this come back up, my screen going blank on me again. Get the sister offline. Okay, so yeah, I'm going to just go out with one last song, Does anybody else have any comment, question to add? I'll give somebody a second or two to do that if you had anything. If not, I'll probably go out with the City of Refuge song. And I'll see you guys, talk to you guys next Monday, 9 p.m. Shalom, shalom.
God, we know where, 'cause I cannot hide from you. Running and running, never got me nowhere, 'cause I know you are my refuge, City of Refuge.
Trying to say to fam, my mom, sisters, and my nephews, may his grace abound and Yah bless you. Life was meant to test you, tribulate and vex you, not to break you down, rather yet to get the best you. So put forth your best to pilgrims in the earth, yes, we extraterrestrial. And I keep your law on my mental, your yoke and your love, Yah is light and is gentle. So I'ma show your light to the Gentiles and mighty Egyptians, and not to mention them lost sheep of Israel, immersed in your Ruach and wisdom. And out of those yokes and those curses of being a Christian, skin like the Pharaoh, vestiges glistening. Repent and take heed to my peace, please listen. Read between the lines and don't fall for the misprints. And do a go the distance, like athletes and track meets, for instance.
You're my city refuge.
refuse.